Jonah, it's four chapters, and you could say, I read a whole book, mysterious story. You kind of know the story. Jonah was supposed to go to one place. He decided he was going to the other place, back on the boat, and a huge storm breaks out. And eventually, Jonah is like, hey guys, I'm the reason. I'm the reason this storm has happened. You should throw me over into the ocean. And all of these pagan sailors, you got to remember this, these are not people of faith. They're not worshiping Yahweh. They don't want to take his life because they're afraid that they may make the gods more mad. But Jonah eventually is like, hey, you got no choice. You got to throw me over. Or eventually, they throw him over. And do you remember what happened? The storm stopped. And these like hardened sailors who've done this their whole lives realize that something significant is fascinating. They worship in ways that you start kind of asking yourself the question, like, were they converted? Like, it's biblical, faithful language on the lips of these pagans that breaks out on the boat, because they had seen and experienced the power of God in a way that caused them. They had no other response other than to worship. Here in Matthew chapter 14, we kind of see a similar thing happening. And one of the things that I wish that I did better, and if I preached more faithfully, more of you would leave more Sundays and you would just be like, God, beautiful books ever written and I should love it more. Well, this is one of those moments. Right? Jesus puts the disciples into the boat. They're going across the lake. They get kind of to that point of no return. If any of you are in distance from the airport, no matter what happens, you are going. You are committed. Right? Point in the boat, like at this point, they're committed. And they're out in the middle of the sea and they're being buffeted by the wind and they are panicking. And Jesus, I hope you read Matthew's gospel and you wrestle with how wild this is. Jesus comes and he walks on the water toward the boat. And you and I, if you've grown up, one of the things that the familiarity with the scriptures does is that it inhibits us from being like, what? We're like, oh yeah, Jesus walked on water, sure. And these disciples stuff out in the boat, and all of a sudden, like they're worried and fearful for their lives, and all of a sudden, Jesus comes walking on the water. And they're trying to put this together again in real time, and they're like, what in the world is happening? Have any of you ever seen a person walk on the water? You have not. If you have, please tell me after the service. But most of us would say, no, we've never seen anybody walk step on the water, you sink. So if you found yourself on a boat this afternoon and somebody came walking on the water, you would be blown away and like putting together what, which just adds to the fear of the story, does it not? They're out there, and the storm is raging, and they see somebody walking towards them, and they're like, well, maybe it is a ghost. And then Jesus does this wonderful thing. He calls out to them. Matthew chapter 14, he calls out to them, and he's trying to bring them peace. Immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Take heart, believe it or not, it's actually me. I'm walking on the water. I'm coming to you. Take heart, don't be afraid. Peter wants to verify Jesus' identity. I couldn't help but think with kind of they can mimic the voices. Here's just an aside. This has actually happened. Your pastor will never call you asking for gift cards or money. I don't care if it sounds just like me. If I'm like, hey, I'm in a bind, please send me a Walmart gift card. You're like, no, this is not you, Wayne, right? It happens. Or emails, it happens more often than you'd think. And so Peter hears the voice of Jesus. He sees him, like quite convinced of what's happening. And so he does what any reasonable person would do, right? If it's you, tell me to walk to you. Peter's one of those guys that most of us really appreciate in the Bible because he's as irrational and up and down as anybody who's ever been born. Here's how we're going to verify this. Jesus, if it is indeed you, tell me to walk to you. And Jesus says, come. I kind of wonder if that was one of those, like, almost a dare in Peter's mind. He's like, well, if it's you, tell me to walk to you. He's like, come on. And again, boats, right? Winds blowing, and Peter's just like, right? Steps over. If you'd seen his eyes when he was like, oh, wait a minute, I'm not sinking. And there's just kind of one step and one step. And he walks toward Jesus, and everything is okay to this point. Peter's probably favorite stories of himself in all the Bible to this point. It's like, finally, I did it right. And as long as his eyes are focused on Jesus, he is sustained. But what happens? He gets overwhelmed by all the things that are happening around him. Finds himself, oh, wait a minute, I'm walking through a storm. Oh, wait a minute, I'm walking on the water. And he looks around, and he's overwhelmed at what happens around him, and he starts to sink. Lord, save me. And Jesus, in a very compassionate and kind way, picks him up. And what happens? What in the world is happening? And they have no response other than to worship him. Fall down and say, surely this is the Son of God. Like Jesus' identity, when he gets in and he's reminding them that he is the one who is Lord and sovereign over all, and the waves listen to him. When I read this passage, I'm encouraged that who is like me. Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And that phrase, oh, you of little faith, ought to make you think back to earlier in Matthew's gospel in the Sermon on the Mount. Little faith, like, don't worry what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Don't worry about that stuff. I got that. You of little faith. And he, little faith, why did you doubt? Why didn't you believe that I'm here and I've got this? And I think about my own story, and I wish that I could tell to you that your pastor is like, I'm like, I know these things to be true. I'm going to walk in faith and obedience to the Lord. Nothing that comes my way is going to shake me. I'm just going to kind of be bedrock. But the truth of the matter is that I'm a whole lot like Peter. But there are moments in my life, and there are moments in my relationship with the Lord and to what I know to be true, where I do believe in the Lord's lordship over my life and his presence and his provision, and that nothing that comes before me is going to ultimately, as recently as this past week, in a way that frustrates me with myself, and perhaps you feel the same frustration. There were things that I was wrestling with and things that I was trying to figure out kind of in my own power and in my own strength. And my immediate response or reaction is to look more deep. What I'm going to do to make this happen. What I'm going to do ultimately to meet the demands of whatever the challenge is before me. And do you know what kind of feelings I feel when I start looking to my own resources and abilities or who I can get to help me fix this problem? Anxiety and fear and anxious, right? All those things kind of just come in because I, like you, oftentimes encounter things that are like I have no hope. And it's been my story throughout my life, and perhaps it's yours. If you look back on your testimony and you think, how in the world did I meet that obstacle? Or how in the world am I at this point in my life? It had to be the Lord. But now in this moment, I'm going to go back on flesh and like trust in myself. And at every point along the way, it fills me with emotions that are not of faith, that I am oftentimes in that category, oh, you of little faith. And this passage reminds me, and I hope it reminds you, that when you're in those moments, whatever it is that you're facing, and it could be that you felt like when you came in here today that you had been on a boat that was barely like staying up. It may have been a rocky sea this past week. It may be that you're heading into a week where you think, I've checked the forecast, so to speak, and it doesn't look good. And there's a part of you looking to yourself and your own resources, and there's fear and anxiety that you feel at that. And the Lord's word to all of us, I think, in those moments are to not look to ourselves or our own resources, but to focus our eyes and our hearts on Jesus and believe that he will be present, that he will provide for us, and that ultimately what we say to be true, that nothing, not even death, will separate us ultimately from his purposes and his plans in our lives. And one of the reasons that we come here together to do this thing called church is that from time to time, we're going to have to remind each other of that. We're going to have to be that for each other to say, hey, everything is swirling around you, and I know that life is hard, and I know that you don't know how in the world you're going to make it through this, but I just want to encourage you from my own story and testimony and from the pages of Scripture, let's focus our hearts and our minds on Jesus and trust that he will see us through this. Whatever it is. So it's just us stepping out one foot in front of the other in obedience to the Lord and faith to believe that we can experience that peace that passes all understanding come what may. So I commit myself to doing that for you from time to time if you need it. And you commit to doing it for me when I need it. When I'm looking to my own resources or what I think I'm anxious or I'm fearful, say, take heart, believe, trust, the Lord's present, he will provide. And I'll do that for you. And we'll learn, hopefully, over time, to trust him more and more with our lives. I invite you to pray with me. Father, we thank you for your kindness to us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we confess to you that if we're in this room and we are human, we go through seasons of life where we feel like we have strong and enduring faith, and other seasons where we feel like that doubt overwhelms us, and that phrase, oh, you have little faith, that it pertains to us. So Lord, remind us of the reality of your presence and provision in our lives. Remind us that you're with us in the storm. Would us to be that for one another. We might experience the peace that passes all understanding, and that you would guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We offer this prayer in your holy name.